Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Show. Well, Gavin, John Jackson, we are back after hiatus. NFL tripped out to the Performance Center. Far too much going on, but we are back and we promise this time, like we said last time, that we are fully committed to some regular content for you here from the Pro Wrestling Show. Coming up in this show, a Hell in a Cell review, some of the big news from around the WWE, and we tease some upcoming stuff. This is the Pro Wrestling Show. Welcome to the Pro Wrestling Show. Will Gavin, John Jackson. Hey, Johnny.
What's up?
How's it going, buddy?
Yeah, not bad. My headphones don't work, but I've ditched them. Don't matter.
It's first time we've seen each other in an absolute age.
Yeah, Will went to Japan.
Yeah.
And then Will went to New York.
Yeah.
And then Will started doing NFL.
Yeah.
And then I went to Orlando.
That's why last week's show was missing, because I had to do 4 NFL podcasts, 3 live NFL broadcasts, plus my normal job. So I apologise, there wasn't a show. We should have tweeted something out or something, but yeah, that was totally on me and my bad, and I apologise. But
we take the flak together, Will.
We've been getting loads of videos together. We're going to start a YouTube channel. It's all going to kick off. We're going to really be committing to this thing going forward, because we really like the feedback we've been getting. We really appreciate all the love out there, but we figured there was a pay-per-view this weekend. We need to get in the studio and record something.
Absolutely.
And John's mocking me for going to Japan.
I'm not mocking you.
And New York.
Good. I talked about it in the podcast and I said I was jealous that you got to go to the New Japan store.
He's been in Orlando at the Performance Center, and honestly, I have very rarely in my life been more jealous than I was of you the 2 days that you got to spend just, you know, hanging out with a bunch of NXT superstars.
Yeah, I don't know how much I'm allowed to talk about at the moment, because there is an embargo. Well, no, as long as I don't talk about...
People know it's about WWE 2K. They know.
Yeah.
People have shared photos on social media.
Well, that's fine then.
They are fully aware of that.
I can't talk about the game. I can't talk about any of the features that I saw.
Can we say who we got interviews with,
which will
be coming up on the show next week?
Well, the embargo is Thursday, so technically we could do a special on Friday morning.
Ooh, maybe.
Or we leave it later until the game comes out. It's up to you.
Let's do it next week. Let's do a special on the game next week.
All right, so next week.
And who's going to be on the show?
I'll go from first to last who I spoke to in this order. Alexa Bliss.
Yes.
Cesaro.
Yes.
Elias.
Yes. What does WWE stand for?
Instantly, while we were doing these interviews, they basically positioned them around the room, and I spent about 45 minutes waiting for Elias, so I just kept going, what does WWE stand for? Wait with Elias. And it was no one found it funny. And of course, the WWE champion AJ Styles.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
We talked about all kinds of things. I'll give you a slight insight. Alexa Bliss, we talked about bacon.
Great.
Cesaro, we talked about coffee.
Great.
AJ Styles, we talked about college football and me mistaking his college football hat for a Green Bay Packers hat, which wasn't a good idea.
Georgia Bulldogs
Georgia
hat.
Yeah,
yeah. Good.
Yeah, we recovered it. And with Elias, I asked him what on earth he thought he was doing singing Angels at the recent London House show.
Good.
So that'll be next week.
There we go. Loads
and
of great
videos
content
of all
coming
this
from
as well.
You. It's all going to go on our YouTube channel when that exists. It actually does already exist. You can find it. There's just no videos on it yet, but it's coming, because we've got the Volta video is going to go up there ahead of Wembley, which is less than 2 weeks away. John, I forgot and failed to get tickets for Unboxing Live in December.
Great.
Their Christmas show where they announce none of the matches and none of the people appearing, and it ends up always being absolutely amazing. Totally forgot to buy tickets today.
Great.
Noticed at 12:20, it had already sold out. So we're going to have to try and get some tickets on Twickets for that one.
Or if Glenn's listening.
Yeah, Glenn, you know where we are.
Give us a text.
Yeah, there's all sorts of other indie. I mean, the same weekend, Fight Club are doing their big weekend of action. They've got loads of stuff going on, including they're getting Bandida and Flamita into their show to do stuff that weekend, who are the current Progress Tag Champions, and we're involved in the Thunder Bastard. Loads of cool stuff coming up on the indie scene, but this is going to be a very WWE heavy show.
Are we going to the NXT tapings in October? Have we decided that?
Is that the Plymouth one?
It's Plymouth. It's the week before your birthday, I believe.
Is it the, what, the 13th and 14th?
Correct.
I'm going to struggle because
you're
the
14th. You're doing NFL, aren't you?
I could go to the Saturday and come back on Sunday because it's the evening game. It's Seahawks Raiders at 6 p.m. So I could be back in time for that. As long as I'm at Wembley by like 4, so I can set up my equipment and, you know, start broadcasting on live radio, then
maybe
we're fine.
We'll just do a very long day trip.
Yeah, oh, I don't know about
if
that.
If anyone's going, let us know, because maybe we can
anyone want to share an Airbnb in Plymouth? That's what we're saying.
Big time.
Airbnb, we'll get into a Wetherspoons. I was telling...
we'll get you some woo-woo.
I was telling Jenny Barsby, our newsreader on TalkSport, about the thing that I've seen independent wrestlers doing, and a lot of other people,
The
Wetherspoons app, saying what table they're on, saying what pub they're in. I think we should try that. But we will probably get minimal responses.
I downloaded it last time when we were in Cambridge for the NXT tapings, and then I bailed on the idea because I did realise that no one would send us anything. And if we'd like tweeted, hey guys, and then we sat there with no drinks on the table, we'd look like a pair of losers.
It would be embarrassing.
All right, well, if you're going at Pro Wrestle Show, let us know. We can, as you say, Airbnb.
We're recording this on Monday, so SmackDown hasn't happened yet, but we're excited to see the direction that they're going to be taking Becky Lynch in after she sealed the SmackDown Women's Championship this weekend. There was a lot of talk about the idea of it being a double turn, a la Austin and Bret Hart all those years ago. The match we've talked about a lot, actually, because we talked about it with Bret Hart. It's the fact is, the reaction in Brooklyn and everything else, I think there will end up being... It will be like they're doing, the kind of trying to do with the Bayley-Sasha thing, about the reaction between the individuals, and Becky will go back to being a face, we hope. But we're going to find out more about that tonight, and we'll react to that on a later show. But we are going to be dedicated today to talking about Hell in a Cell.
Yep.
Which was a hell of a show.
It was good.
Till the last 4 minutes.
Well, yeah. Did you watch the kickoff show? I haven't seen the kickoff show.
I know. I've now watched the whole thing.
That's the problem. To fish out like one match in 2 hours of a kickoff show, which is way too long.
Oh, I didn't watch the whole kickoff show.
No.
I did the skipping forward.
No, I think the coach presented it as well.
Yeah, but that's because the coach is gone from Raw, which is great news.
Got to get back on the coach. Coach to the pre-show.
Taxi for the pre-show. Taxi for coach.
Taxi for coach.
Does it work?
No.
I don't think
no.
so.
Uber. No, it don't work.
And so we've got a new permanent co-commentator on Monday Night Raw.
And she's got something to say as well.
She's fantastic.
Which is nice.
So good.
She's not just there because, you know, oh, we need to get a woman on there. She actually says things of interest, not just chipping in with nothing.
Renee, I could not be a bigger fan. Right, so how do you want to attack this? So we haven't done an off-air meeting. We could talk about, there are some other bits of news that are unrelated to the WWE. Yeah. Phoenix and Pentagon are committed to MLW through 2019, which means that they're not going to be appearing in a WWE ring anytime soon, despite rumours that that deal was being done. So there you go, there's one.
Yeah.
It's WWE related, but Alexa Bliss is out of the out of the mixed match challenge, pulled from in-ring activity due to an arm injury she suffered during Hell in a Cell. Not sure whether that's a work or not.
Yeah, it's a weird one, that, isn't it? Because like Ember Moon technically could need the exposure more on the mixed match challenge. Not that I don't know how many people actually watch the mixed match challenge, but yeah, they could just be trying to sell that she's been really battered and Ronda's an absolute beast. But I think it'd be a bit weird to pull it on the day if she wasn't actually injured. Weirdly, we talked for quite a while about the merchandise that her and Braun have got, which is the big hand and then the little hand with the gloves on.
Nice.
Which I said I loved, and Alexa was she was saying how much that she's pushing for WWE to make that, like actually sell that T-shirt properly and make that part of her ring attire and all that. So that's kind of gutting for her. She was well excited about that.
That's frustrating. Yeah. Glow won 2 Emmys, which is exciting to see. If you've not watched Glow yet, it is fantastic.
Still haven't watched Glow.
As a wrestling fan, it's brilliant. But even just as a fan of good television, it's great.
You're so smooth. I haven't watched either. I'm a wrestling fan and I'm a fan of terrible television.
Right, we've been holding it off.
Go on.
Let's talk about Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, man.
Where, do we want to just work our way chronologically through the show?
I think so. That's how I watch it.
Fine. I think that's how most human beings watched it.
Yeah, I don't wait till the day after and then just skip from match to match in a weird spasmodic order.
So, okay, let's start off with the kickoff show then, with the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. The New Day in their role as champions against Rusev and English. Firstly, good to see Aiden English actually getting a proper role, taking part in a competition like this. And, you know, when the Vaudevillains, when Simon Gotch left and all of that died off, I thought that'd be the end of Aiden English. I thought a job for a year or so, see out his contract, maybe 205, but then end up back in the indies and that'd be it. And I think he's a really talented wrestler. I think he's good on the mic, much better than Gotch ever was, that's for sure. And so I'm delighted he's found this Rusev Day role, but actually I'm more delighted to see that actually we're seeing him in-ring action now as well.
And they've kept it, because there were a lot of rumours, weren't there, that they were going to ditch him and have it as Rusev and Lana, and like, it just didn't, you know. I didn't like that idea, because actually he does add a lot to the Rusev Day thing. So, I mean, as you said on Twitter, at WrestleMania, what was the biggest chant we heard all weekend? Rusev Day.
Yeah, 100%.
Other than Adam Cole, baby.
Baby. 8 minutes 50 this goes, the champions defeating Rusev and English via pin. It was English who took the pin after the Trouble in Paradise. You know, I've got to say, the kickoff shows, I saw some people saying, oh, it was good for a kickoff show. Mm. Sometimes kickoff matches can be fantastic. And I specifically think that when it comes to the Cruiserweight Championship, when that gets on a kickoff match for something like a Rumble or a Mania, I particularly think back to the Austin Aries and a Neville match back at Mania 2 years ago when they were on the pre-show. So they got 25 minutes and put on one of the best matches of the night, because you've got two really talented in-ring workers and they're going to get a lot more time because they're on the pre-show. I just thought it was really, really good fun, and there was genuine moments where I thought that Rusev and Aiden English were going to win it.
Yeah, and imagine the pop. But then would you want to see them on the main show winning it? I would. Certainly with how popular they are. Quick note on Neville, by the way. Someone that I was with on this trip to Orlando, is from Newcastle, recently spotted him at a soft play area practicing some moves. I'm not even kidding. So he's obviously coming back soon. And apparently someone said online that he said he can't do dates at the moment, but it won't be too long.
I mean, Defiant obviously makes a huge amount of sense, as it's the local, the what culture. It's kind of anti-WWE as well, to an extent, because it's not got that deal.
Let's just say the news came from someone who used to work for what culture.
Ah, right. Okay, good. Good. I think I can guess who.
Yeah.
Let's not let anyone else do so before we move on. No problem with the New Day staying as champions. This could have been easily been a main show match, and there are a couple that I can see that maybe could have gone to the pre-show. I just don't see the point in spending weeks setting up a tournament to then go, we're only doing this for a pre-show.
But also, the main show finished at 3:40 a.m. and normally it finishes bang on 4, doesn't it? So there's 20 minutes there. You could have put it on the main show.
Actually kicked off with it. But it seemed they wanted to kick off with Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
So Jeff Hardy faces Randy Orton. We questioned why this match was in a cell in the build-up. And it turns out the match was in a cell because Jeff Hardy apparently requested the match to be in a cell, because for kayfabe reasons, this was going to be his last match before he took time off for surgery. And maybe it'll end up being his last match ever, with Matt Hardy retiring. It was typically Jeff Hardy.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, I didn't see how it happened, but Randy Orton's leg and the bit of flesh that came out of
just
it,
dangling. Yeah.
And he shared a photo of it later just on the table. It's like, oh, that is grim.
My only problem with this match was that it didn't need to be in Hell in a Cell. I don't understand why. It comes back to my previous beef about the stipulations being in the set, the stipulations being the reason behind a pay-per-view, so you have to put it in there, because it was basically just a hardcore match that happened inside a cell.
Yeah.
Bar the big spot at the end, which obviously did involve the cell, but then we'll get to the later match, and I had more beef with that, because the way they used the cell was
mental.
Was really poor.
Why wasn't Becky Charlotte in the cell? Why didn't we get a women's cell match?
Or Joe and AJ. Yeah. Could have easily been.
Why didn't we get
in Hell in a Cell?
I mean, obviously that was an interesting finish. It's not the finish that we thought with the Jeff Hardy match, you know. Acrobatic or whatever. I thought Randy Orton moved out of the way a bit quickly, but, you know.
Well, there's a lot of the moments that happened in this match. Supposedly he can't Swanton bomb, and we saw him going
try and do it.
Trying to do it a couple of times off of top ropes, off of corners, going through.
That's what I thought
onto
was
tables, etc.
I thought he was going to attempt it from the turnbuckle, fail. Attempt it from the ladder, fail. Then do it from the top, hit, pass, whatever you want to call it. But then it didn't.
The Jeff's ear hole spot. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely grim. I hate all this ear stuff. I've always hated ear spacing because A, they smell. If you've ever known anyone with an ear spacing, they stink. And B, just they don't look very strong. And I know it's just cartilage, but Jesus Christ, I didn't need to see that.
With the screwdriver as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Better than a finger?
Yeah, it didn't make me... It's not as bad as the finger. Not as bad as pulling him along by it, although I'm, you know, just it's just absolutely grim. But I mean, that's, you know, perfect for Orton's character, but Jesus, I don't like it.
So... Jeff hits the twist of fate, puts Orton on the table, climbs the ladders, grabs the top of the cell, swings into a splash, but Orton moves. Jeff goes through the table and ends up having to
be taken out
to the back.
Do you think the original plan was to do an RKO through the table from the top? That would have been much better.
What, he goes for the thing and then...
He's swinging, Jeff realises he's effed up, and then Randy spots this, sees him, and basically it's just a waiting game until Jeff can't hold on any longer, falls... RKO through the table. That's what I wanted to see.
That's a great shout, but that's a really hard spot to do.
Yeah.
It's a really hard spot to do live, and particularly, like, we've seen some amazing RKOs. Still all-time favourite.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 30, the curb stomp into an RKO with Rollins. But you question, Rollins is younger, lither, one of the best in the world right now, and was certainly then as well. And Jeff Hardy is a guy who is a bit broken,
That's Matt Will.
Yeah. very good.
Yeah, I know what very you mean. Good. It's harder to do. Do you know what's really bugged me about this?
Go on.
So Jeff Hardy, we all assumed, okay, maybe it's not his last match, but maybe he's being written off for a considerable amount of time because, you know, he's got all these injuries that everyone talks about and Meltzer's banging on about it all the time. And then he falls to the table, he gets taken out. At first I thought, oh, Randy Orton's going to like do a brawn and get him off the thing. But obviously they were selling that he really was injured. They kept saying throughout the whole event, oh, he's coughing up blood, he's really ill. 3 hours after the event, he's on Instagram posting a video of his face paint, going, I'm all right. And then last night he did a house event somewhere and posted the face paint again. This morning.
What's he doing?
People are like writing on his Instagram going, whoa, ain't you dead?
God.
So the problem is that... Surely you'd say to him, Jeff, if we're writing you off for a bit, don't go posting on Instagram that you're wrestling the next night. So it just makes no sense.
No, that is frustrating.
Unless, like, you know, again, he's going to have a big send-off on SmackDown tonight. Who knows?
But... Stay off social media if you want kayfabe.
Yeah.
I think that's the point,
social media
maybe.
Ruined kayfabe. There we go. There's a T-shirt idea.
Well done, mate.
Urban species.
It's going to be what they do with Randy is going to be interesting now because I finally give a crap about Randy because he's doing proper heel Randy again. But I never really bought into the feud with Jeff, the whole point behind it. I guess he can go into a feud with Shinsuke. Where was he in the American title, by the way?
Surfing somewhere, wasn't he?
Yeah, so that could be the direction they go in, but I don't know. Randy's someone who I think a little bit like we were saying about KO last week, I'd rather see him go off TV for the next couple of months.
Yeah.
Just too much of him. Keeps being thrown into random feuds. Not a fan.
Put him in and have an impact, you know?
We then get the Women's Championship match. Apparently, Becky Lynch signs taken out of the stadium. People turning up with Boo the Woo signs. And they were taking off them in the stadium.
I read
and
a thing about
away.
That. Apparently, a woman made loads of them. And then she gave them all out and they didn't want a big section of it. That's
like a
why.
Cesaro section type thing. But she came out, she got a much bigger pop, even though she didn't give it the full entrance, the wheeling arms, the high-fiving the crowd and everything, very serious entering the ring. Charlotte comes out and what they kind of do is put on a good match, maybe even very good. But considering how well we know these two know each other, both personally and from a wrestling perspective, and what we've seen both of them do in matches before, I was a little disappointed. This could have easily been the best match of the night, and it just wasn't quite given enough time, wasn't quite given enough build.
No.
And given time to sell and given a really good finish and still having the title change as well. Like I said, if they'd done the proper double turn, not saved it for SmackDown, but done it on Sunday, they could have made this a Bret Hart, Stone Cold situation. whether they're actually going to take this to Evolution, because they're scheduled to face each other before that, at the Super Showdown, whether that actually match goes ahead now. I think they might take them off that card or put them in a tag match and save the title match for Evolution. And they have it happen there to try and make Evolution feel more special. I don't know, but it just... too much of this show, for as good as the wrestling was and how much fun I had with it, felt like a bit placeholdery.
Are they still planning on doing this Survivor Series four horsewomen thing?
I don't think it can happen that soon.
I was going to say, because...
it's nowhere near enough build.
It's not going to work, is
Between now and Survivor Series, there's the Super Showdown in Australia, the 9 a.m. Saturday one. There is the show that we're going to be talking about later on in Saudi Arabia. There's Evolution.
They won't be on that, but,
and then there's it. That's it. There's no kind of mainstream pay-per-view before then. They're all the kind of either offshoot pay-per-views or the all-women's pay-per-view.
Yeah, sure.
So... I can't see it happening, personally.
No,
but I love Becky getting the title.
Yeah, that's the main thing, and that's good. And, you know, I hope she's really good with it. But, yeah, the finish was a bit weird as well. You know, could have been a much better finish.
Countering the spear into the cradle after... I mean, the disarmer is the way that we want her to be. She wants her to break arms and everything, but...
They're trying to stop other women other than Ronda Rousey do armbar stuff.
You think that's
it? Yeah. Ugh. It's mad, isn't it?
The problem was Becky was really good and the heat overall was really good. Charlotte, I'm not saying she's going down into the Roman Reigns territory, which is what some people want to accuse her of, but it felt a little bit like she phoned that in when we know from Charlotte she can be the person who has those absolutely unbelievable matches we've seen from her in the past.
I liked at the end when Charlotte looked like she wanted to make up and Becky was like, nah, that was cool.
Yeah,
I like that. But yeah, other than that, I felt a little bit disappointing. I felt a little bit disappointed. However, I didn't feel disappointed about the tag match that followed.
No.
That was very good.
Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre taking on Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins for the title. We'll get to their role in the situation later. Really, just genuinely brilliant, proper tag action. What I loved about it is we've seen these guys with the Strowman situation, with the Shield situation. We've seen every possible combination of these guys for months now, and yet they made us feel properly fresh.
I liked that there was that kind of confusion of who's the legal man kind of thing at the end, which was really nice with that finish. And yeah, I was just left feeling I'd watched a really good match and it wasn't forced and everything was natural and it all made sense. Which, with a few matches that we've discussed, kind of didn't.
It's four guys performing at their very peak. Dean Ambrose, on this return, particularly when you've heard the stories now about his arm becoming entirely withered at one point, the staph infection which nearly killed him, the amount of extra time it took him to come back, he's come back so fired up and interesting. Seth Rollins is the most bankable actual in-ring talent in the WWE at the moment, and that is including the likes of AJ Styles. On the other side, Drew McIntyre, since his return, has been phenomenal.
I want to say
Ziggler
stepping
is brilliant.
Up. He's not stepping up. Like, he's just fulfilling the potential he's always had.
Yeah. Well, and fulfilling the potential, particularly since his return, since he's gone out and got much better on the mic. And just brilliant near falls. Like you say, the confusion about what happened. The fact that you got that Rollins going for the superplex and McIntyre hitting. I thought that was a really good finish, really smoothly done.
Yeah.
Crowd was amazing. At this point in the pay-per-view, I am thinking to myself, every match has been great. This is my favourite WWE pay-per-view of the year. And I think that might have been the best main roster match I've seen on a pay-per-view this year.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely right up there.
Yeah. It's one of those ones where, like, I'm as guilty as you are, but normally when we're watching it, we're also trying to write funny tweets.
Yeah, there
and
is
I
that.
Didn't even look at my phone once during that match. You know, so I think that's a good sign. How sad is that these days that not looking at your phone during a match means it's good?
We then get Styles Joe.
Yeah.
We then get the... by the way, can we talk about the children's book? That whole angle was brilliant.
It's just weird.
I'm Samoa Joe is absolutely killing it, and I could not love him more right now. This is the best work he's done since the Styles feud back in the TNA days, which we've talked about so much with the match we kind of put out on our Twitter, etc. This is his personal best work, whereas AJ Styles has raised up to the top, continued to be brilliant in WWE, brilliant out in Japan. It feels like Samoa Joe needed, whilst he's been brilliant on the mic since he came back and had that whole thing, he's not had a bad match that I can remember recently, but as a proper ongoing feud, he needed something like this to really raise him up to another level. And I'm just a bit gutted he didn't actually take the title off him.
No.
And Now we're going to get the finish. I was a bit frustrated because the finish was similar to the finish we saw in another Joe match recently.
What was it, an Inseguri?
It was the doing the locking on the clutch and then the opposition rolling it into a pin. The difference between it is that Styles did tap out.
Oh, yeah, of course. Third. Sorry, I forgot about all the controversy, right?
Yeah, before the third. And so we got...
Yeah,
controversy. Yeah,
it keeps it going, doesn't it?
Head-to-head, like, that's great. But then it's going to happen in Australia on Super Showdown. You're like, oh, but...
Really?
So is this just... So that was the moment that I had a slight turn on this. That I started to feel like this is now... There is too much looking forward to events which are money spinners, not genuine storyline events.
Also, the wife and kids angle of this seemed to be great in the build-up and then was just totally lost in the actual match and... on the day.
Which when you go back to their SummerSlam match and you had him doing the whole getting on the table, Wendy!
Call me Daddy.
Wendy! Yeah, all of that stuff was fantastic. I could have done with more of that, definitely.
More Wendy, please.
But still, a great match between two great wrestlers.
I mean, it's kind of the feud that you hope that Shinsuke would have had with AJ, which just kind of fell really flat.
You're thinking about Samoa Joe again.
No.
So we had that. We had the alternate angle. It shows that they did tap out, setting up the Super Showdown rematch. I feel like Joe has to get the title here. I'm going to be so frustrated if he doesn't.
Yeah.
But if they give it to him in Australia rather than holding it off until... Because then you're going to have to sound like...
I mean...
Survivor Series sounds like the right place to do the change, but how do you keep the feud going that long without it going a bit
and
stale?
And WWE love firsts, don't they? So AJ, you'll remember, obviously won the title for the first time on non-US soil when he won it in Manchester, which he's held since.
Mm-hmm.
That was a first. You know, Ronda Rousey's the first UFC and WWE champion. Will Samoa Joe be the first man to win a title on the double... I can't speak.
The Antipodean title holder.
On the Southern Hemisphere is what I was going to say. I'm not very well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Now for the first not good wrestling match of the night.
Can I just say, the attire was great. I like the white outfit that Miz and Maryse wear.
Oh.
They looked spectacular.
And yet again, as you know, my way of describing Miz, spectacular asshole. He is glorious in this. And the stuff very early on, where you had the faking it out, her tagging him in, all of that stuff worked really well. I don't really like Brie Bella.
See, the thing is, right, the period of the Bella's height of fame was when I kind of drifted away from wrestling just because I had life stuff going on, like uni and whatnot. And I kind of missed the hype, and they've come back, and, you know, you've seen matches and whatever. I still don't think I've seen Brie Bella do a good match.
And I don't think she's someone who... She had the same kind of scrappy underdog image that... to a much, much, much lesser extent that Daniel Bryan had, which was never about their relationship, but now will be about their relationship because of Total Bellas and because of everything that's happened with that. Just, I'm not buying into the Bellas returning. I'm not buying into... None of this is really resonating with me. And I'm worried that Evolution is going to feel gimmicky when I want it to feel special.
Absolutely. I felt that Nikki Bella, actually, and I know Nikki Bella's kind of not had as much time off more recently as Brie did, and obviously Brie had the baby and all that, but Nikki Bella actually seems more assured and more confident in the ring. It seems like Brie's maybe lost a lot of confidence while she's not been performing.
Those suicide dives, I mean, that's a great example. Horrible. Of it.
You know,
absolutely horrible.
Finish to this was a bit shonky as well, wasn't it?
Well, so yeah, so we had, I mean, first of all, Daniel Bryan, why is he going for the flying headbutt? Absolutely madness. Missed that. We did then get the Miz dumping Maurice to the floor, Brie coming out, going after Miz, all of that stuff happened as well. And once we got Maurice and Brie coming in, I quite liked Maurice picking up the win, even though she's clearly, they kept those interactions, they kept their in-ring time together to an absolute minimum. I liked the two of them being the ones that made the decision and we keep the feud going.
Yeah.
I just want it to go back to being a feud between Daniel Bryan
Absolutely.
And the Miz now, please.
Less distraction. More about them. I actually incidentally watched NXT 1 the other day, the first episode, where it was 8 pros versus 8 rookies. And it was obviously Daniel Bryan and The Miz.
Well, so you know we're obviously recording this ahead of SmackDown.
Yeah.
Has this announcement been made official, or is it just something that Super Showdown are advertising as being the case? And I think this is going to be announced on SmackDown tonight. So by the time most people hear this, they won't know. But it's already been announced as being part of the Super Showdown card that they're getting Miz, Daniel Bryan, number one contenders match. So who goes on to face AJ Styles or Samoa Joe at this nonsense going on in Saudi Arabia or going on to Survivor Series as well?
Yeah. So fantasy booking time, Will. I'm going to predict what you're going to say. You're going to say that Joe wins a title at Super Showdown. The Miz. Oh, actually, I'm going to say The Miz.
The problem is any combination of these four, I absolutely love.
I'd like The Miz to have the title at WrestleMania against Daniel Bryan.
I would, you know, put these four in a fatal four-way and just let them go at it and show us what they can do. I mean, honestly, the only problem with that is we'd have to deal with rubbish tag matches on SmackDown for weeks and weeks on end beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miz and Joe teaming up, but Joe turning on Miz. But then, you know, I can write this all for you without you. The WWE writers can write this nonsense in their sleep. It's just like, let's pull out any feud that's had two heels and two faces in it from the last 5 years and just slap on the exact same format.
Yeah.
That's my problem with it, but the WWE Championship is something I'm really intrigued about at the moment. The Universal Championship, despite the fact that we finally got it in somebody's hands who's actually appearing on TV
Still
and wrestling.
Could not care.
Yeah.
Not care less.
Not feeling it.
Well, we'll get on to that. Let's talk about the Raw Women's Championship, Ronda Rousey and Alexa Bliss, which allegedly injured Alexa Bliss, but we still don't know if that's a work or not. By the time you hear this, you may have seen her in hospital. It may have come out that it's a work. Who knows?
I mean, I want to start off by making it very clear that I liked this show. It was a good 7 out of 10 for me and maybe my favourite show of the year so far from a WWE perspective.
Yeah.
It's absolutely stunning to me that Ronda Rousey has only been wrestling for, 6 months now in the actual main roster?
4, 5, 6 official matches, really.
So not only is she huge, I think she might have quadrupled her moveset in the last 2 months alone and showed off a lot of that. I like the new version of her finisher, which wasn't the same, but did the kind of rolling Samoa drop thing. But when they did this match, was set up exactly as it needed to be. You needed to make Alexa Bliss a legitimate threat without making a mockery of the match they had at SummerSlam. So you have to have Rousey get an injury. That's the standard thing. Rousey sold those ribs like she'd been
working in TGI's for 2 years. She's got the rib selling badge on her waistcoat.
Hey-o! Ding, 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 ding.
Joke alert.
Joke alert.
Only 30-something minutes in. There's a joke. We've had a joke, guys.
Celebrate good jokes. Come on.
Yeah.
She sold those ribs like she's been wrestling since she was 10 years old. It was an unbelievable job on her part. Bliss was brilliant in this as well. The facials, the quality of the work, the way she did the desperate heel, the moment she noticed the ribs, worked them over. It wasn't perfection. You know, it was just a great, solid match. but Rousey showed up about 50% of the current WWE roster, having only done this for a few months, and that is a bit worrying.
She strikes me as someone that she approaches something with, right, what have I got to do this? Right, I'm going to do it. You just noticed how much she's bulked up her upper body. Like in UFC, that was probably not as desperate that she needed to be strong. It's more about how technical you can be and how much of a battering you can take. Whereas in WWE, she obviously needs to lift people, she needs to do all these moves, and you can see she's properly hench now.
There is an element of protection of Bliss here as well, having her. They needed to work a different match. They couldn't just do another squash like they did at SummerSlam, but they do have to make sure they keep Rousey special. And on Monday Night Raw, they had the whole idea of her doing the open challenge, and then Natalia's music hit and she kind of did the wry smile to the screen. Okay, taking on my best mate in a championship match on TV, that could be fun. The Riot Squad then drag Natalia's limp body out to the stage, attack her 3-on-1 with the injured ribs, and she still beats them down, gets some help from the Bellas. That whole setup works really well
for Super Showdown.
But they need to make sure that Ronda is kept special, because she Absolutely. Is special. They have to find that right balance that they didn't quite get with Brock this time round, but got with Brock last time round. I want to see her work, I want to see her involved, but I don't want to get to a point where she's just another person on the roster.
A bit like Oscar.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want
her
to get Oscar'd.
Build her up to something massive, and then now she's not even on the pre-show, she's not even on SmackDown half the time. Nia Jax came back on Raw.
She did.
Nice to see.
That wasn't a good match, but she came back, so that was nice.
I like Nia.
Alicia Fox has been wrestling now for 12 years inside the WWE system. 12 years. Ronda Rousey, less than 6 months. Let that permeate your brain for a moment.
Alicia Fox wears a hat.
Constable
really
Corbin
well.
Can rubbish off.
Oh, sorry, he's on the show next week. If you want to change your mind on what you just said. We had a great chat. Obviously, out of character, what a nice bloke he is.
I really want to talk to him about the NFL at some point, because he is a former NFL player.
I read about his history on the plane, and he's been knocked back quite a lot, wasn't he, from NFL?
There have been moments where he's had flashes. When the Constable Corbin thing first happened, I thought, ooh, something interesting with the character. And then they've run it into the ground.
Company. Did you know that? They all run T-shirt companies nowadays.
But you know, the one thing I did like from Raw, before we get to the main event for Hell
Go
Cell,
on.
We got managers back. Leo Rush even referred to himself as Bobby Lashley's manager.
I like him.
I love Leo Rush.
He's a cocky little pea.
The nonsense of him flipping in and out of the ring and all of that stuff was great. It was fantastic.
He's an annoying little ant.
And I think that can only augment what's been a bit of a naff run for Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to talk about WWE 2K next week when we have all those interviews. Bobby Lashley not in the game.
Is he not? Didn't know that.
Now, they were developing it before he debuted after Mania, and the bulk of the development has happened by then. He is definitely going to be in that first DLC.
Interesting, in the game, I can't really talk too much about it, allegedly, but they've put a lot of effort in changing stuff up, and they've recorded over 1,000 new lines of dialogue and stuff with wrestlers.
Great.
So, I mean, when you start to see that, you can see maybe why some of these wrestlers haven't quite made the game if they're new to WWE, because a lot of the sort of story mode, I guess, they've had mapped out and they've had it voiced and stuff. But yeah, he's definitely going to be in that download pack for sure. It's got to be, with his manager.
Yeah, there we go.
Big fan of that.
We'll have a final confirmation on SmackDown, but before we got to the main event, Joe went to Paige, complained about AJ tapping out. They confirmed the rematch Super Showdown, and they teased the idea there must be a winner. They teased no DQ, they teased no countouts. They made a big deal about how this is going to have to be definitive. I still think they'll find a way to do a botch ending for that, potentially, if they want to keep if they want to keep both men strong. But I'd really love to see Joe win it. Before we get to the main event, actually, can I have a totally separate WWE beef?
Absolutely.
Again, I want to state that I really enjoyed this show. I had fun watching it. Most fun I've had watching a pay-per-view in ages. Maybe I've had this rant before.
You've had quite a few.
Automatic clauses in the contract which allow a rematch. I think it's killing storylines in the WWE too often. I think you're not getting those situations where What I want to see is AJ Styles finally knocked off his perch by Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe refusing to fight him again. And AJ Styles having to rebuild himself from the ground up. Like we're seeing, and I hate when other people do the WWE New Japan comparison thing, but I'm going to now do it, so I hate myself. Like they're now doing with Okada in New Japan. The fact that he's had to go back to square one, rediscover his style. And you can do some really interesting character storytelling there. The fact that with every time you get a title change, you're just guaranteed there's going to be a rematch at the next pay-per-view, I think it kills the idea that you can do anything original or different. It's not a rant, just a suggestion. Take the auto rematch clause out.
I feel like sometimes as well, when it's convenient, the auto rematch doesn't really ever exist. Sometimes it's just forgotten slightly.
All the time.
Yeah, and it's
or
like,
they come back like 6 months later and went, I never got my rematch.
Yeah, I mean, did Finn Balor technically get his rematch from the Universal title?
He did on Monday Night Raw a few weeks ago, didn't he?
But I mean, that's like, well, okay, fair enough. But yeah, doing it the next night or whatever, it's just a bit, yeah. I get your expressed point. Makes sense.
So up until this point in the show is an 8.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, the best WWE show of the year. Yeah, the best WWE show of the year. Non-NXT WWE show of the year. Hands down. And then this main event happened.
Oy.
And do you know what? For the first 8-9 minutes, this is eventually the match goes for 24 minutes. First 8-9 minutes, just this big boss hog showdown, big move after big move, throwing each other around, using the cell well, brutal, big, hard hitting. It's the same match we've seen from Reigns and previously Lesnar and now Strowman quite a few times, but it was working for me.
Absolutely.
You knew there was going to be nonsense. We didn't know there was going to be Lesnar nonsense, but you knew there was going to be some silliness.
Absolutely. So Drew McIntyre and... They were the first ones to come down, weren't they?
Yeah, so McIntyre and Dolph come down. The Shield come and make the assist. They all end up on top of the cage. And when they're all on top of the cage, bar the fact that you are papping your pants that something's going to go wrong, and it has happened before, that was quite exciting.
There was one slam that I think Drew McIntyre did on Dean Ambrose on top, and I was just like,
you saw the whole thing bow like a good few feet, and you're like,
that's not good.
That could really be a problem.
Yeah, and then Seth and Dolph fell off.
But first of all, why during this entire period of time, Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman just having a nap, just lying down, just not even bothering.
Yeah.
They just did nothing for this entire time. Then the two of them took the table bump. It was a bad table bump in that the angle they showed it from, they had them hitting each other, and then you saw them both look down at the table and both jump off.
I know.
In
and
sync.
Also the angle, when the cage is now red, it's really obvious where the big holes are.
Big handholes,
Put them all round.
Yeah.
Don't put them just in the one bit where they're going to do the spot, because it makes it really obvious.
So
that table bump was crap.
Yeah, properly crap. And then Lesnar comes back. And Lesnar coming back in that situation isn't necessarily a negative.
No, he looked great.
He got a big old pop. He looked lean. I like the beard.
Ginger beard.
I don't know how he lost that much weight that quickly. It's impressive.
Yeah, he's got quite lean. He's probably in full training, isn't he?
Kicks the cage in. That's great. Beats the crap out of everyone. That's great.
My point is, if he can kick the cage in, why can't any of the others kick the cage in?
Strowman surely would be able to kick the cage in if he can do it.
He wears boots, like work boots. Lesnar was just wearing trainers.
So kicks the cage in, kicks the crap out of everyone. Fine, great, enjoyed that. Wish he'd gone and kicked the crap out of Ziggler and Rollins as well for the terrible table bump.
Yeah.
Those two having a match the next night.
Yeah.
Just, I know they worked in the bit that they were injured and hurt and tired and everything. No, don't put them on the show the next night. I know they're money, but you've made them do a table bump in a cell match.
They should make them redo the table bump the next night, but do it properly.
It's
not a match.
You're going to do it right. You've got to do it again.
Yeah.
But it was all there was what happened after that. The referee coming back in and just calling the match.
That's not how it works.
It's a Hell in a Cell match. It's no disqualification. It's anything goes. It's the most brutal bout you can have in all of WWE. And they just went, yeah, probably stop it there.
Ding, ding, it's over.
And it's all done to sell the Crown Jewel.
Which is funny, because Crown Jewels is what people call their package, isn't it?
Happening in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia on November the 2nd, they immediately announced the next night, we're going to get Reigns, Lesnar and Strowman, as well as the first ever WWE World Cup tournament to determine the best in the world. So basically, they're doing King of the Ring out in the stadium in Riyadh. They're putting this match on, which is Lesnar coming back for one match because he's not going to pass his ban until January, so he can't wrestle in UFC yet. Apparently he's making six figures for doing this match anyway. It has nothing to do with the storylines from the rest of WWE. It has everything to do with them making money off this relationship with Saudi Arabia. It ruins Strowman. It ruins Reigns. It ruins the entire storytelling of the last 6 weeks. And I'm not surprised that you had the fans shouting bull, bull, at the end at them. I thought this was the most ridiculous piece of money-grabbing crap. I've used that word a lot today.
It's crowbarred in, isn't it? It's how badly it's crowbarred in. At least with the Triple H and the Undertaker thing, yeah, all right, they've come out each week and it's been a bit obvious they're just bigging up this big show, but at least there's been a build to it and it's something. Whereas this has just been, all right, well, you know, this thing we've been promoting that's actually going to be good. Oh, well, actually, we've got to do this because of contractual obligations to the Middle East. So this is what's going to happen. And it just, yeah, it just leaves the it finished not only a bit early, I thought, but it just kind of left you with a bad taste in your mouth. Also, what happened to Mick Foley?
Oh, just...
Everyone's forgotten about him, but his TV show was on afterwards. Oh, nice one.
The last 10 minutes of this pay-per-view took what a lot of good faith that had built up and completely pulled it down for me. And I'm worried about the next few months now. I'm worried Evolution is going to be gimmicky and not actually be... And I'm also worried Evolution was announced knowing that this Saudi Arabia date was coming up a few weeks afterwards, and it's to satiate all of that negative press that they got last time because no women were allowed to wrestle, or Sami Zayn. Just everything about this next few months before Survivor Series makes me worry about my interest in the product, and they're going to have to do something pretty special. And I think SmackDown can do it, but yep. I'm worried that Raw can't.
What are you thinking about the Mae Young Classic?
It's a wasteland.
Let's be positive to finish. Mae Young Classic, you enjoying that?
Oh, loving it. Yeah, and loving seeing the British talent, loving seeing the new Japanese talent coming in. Yeah, I think it's great.
In the first round, there was MJ Jenkins. Do you remember her? She had like a sort of big kind of afro, I want to say an afro, what's David Beckham have? Mohican.
Right, yeah.
She lost, but like I really liked her. And when we were at the Performance Centre, I saw her and did that really awkward, hello.
I saw you on the telly.
I thought you were very good. And she was like, oh, thanks. So she was really cool. And then I was like, okay, bye then.
Like when you told Mark Haskins you really enjoyed his match in Ring of Honor, and he was like, thank you, friend.
Oh, thanks very much. Ooh. Yeah, I saw her, and that was weird. I also saw Nixon Newell, whatever her name is in WWE. What's her name? Tegan Knox.
Tegan Knox now.
I saw her on crutches. She was playing the game, had a bit of a chat, played the Welsh card there. She said that her knee injury, and I don't know if this has been released, but her knee injury was worse than before, the one she did the year before. So she only ended up having one ligament still attached in her knee.
Oh, bless her.
And she also broke the top of her leg.
Ugh.
So horrible. She's pretty...
Huge fan of hers as well.
I'm amazed at how positive people like her can stay. And she was like, yeah, it happens, whatever. And I said, well, what are you going to do for the next year then? She's like, yeah, it'll be 7 to 9 months. I'm just there going like, your knee is literally detached. That's the word. Your knee is detached from itself and you've broken the top of your leg. And she's just like, yeah, whatever, it'll be fine. I'm just like, how, what?
Fair play to her for being that positive.
She just had it operated on as well, and it looked grim.
I'm going to get next week the full download on all of your little moments in the Performance Centre, seeing Keith Lee and Matt Riddle and everyone else that you got to see while you were there, and we'll get into all of that next week.
All right.
But just to finish, I'll say it once more. I liked Hell in the Cell.
Yeah? What rating did you give it? Was it 7 chubs?
It was a good... 7/10 of a chub. What's this, is that?
Is everything rated out of one chub? 70. It's a 7/10 of a chub.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess over 4 hours I can eat more than one chub.
I enjoyed it. My biggest gripe is that Jeff Hardy the next day was like doing a house show. That annoyed me, but that's not part of the show, so it doesn't count.
Let us know your thoughts.
Yeah.
At Pro Wrestle Show on Twitter. Go and give us a rating and a review on iTunes. We do really appreciate that there. Tell us what you want to hear over the next couple of weeks. Tell us about the indie shows you're going to. Tell us about any interviews you want us to try and get with independent wrestlers outside of our WWE stuff. And we'll have our 2K show coming up for you early next week.
When we go to Progress's Wembley show, who do you want to hear us talk to?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm desperately trying to get Matt Riddle. It's not going well, but I'm trying.
We'll have to get Matt Riddle. We'll try.
Thank you so much for listening.
John, thank you for coming into the studio and doing it. You go do your real job. I'm going to go see my real wife. You've been listening to the
As opposed to your fake one. the one with a valve.
Exactly. You've been listening to the Pro Wrestling Show. Thank you very much. Bye.
Oh, Will's letting her down.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.